So last time we discussed the basics of Bishul on a Deraisa level. Now we'll move to discuss what the Derabanan aspects are. So any prohibition Derabanan is called a Shvus. That we don't do certain things as a fence, as a safeguard that might lead you to do something that's actually prohibited on a Deraisa level. Many examples on Shabbos, for example, like Muktzah. Muktzah is a Derabanan. We don't move Muktzah items because we might come to do a Malach with them or something else like that. So in terms of Bishul, there is a concern, certain things we're not going to do, either two reasons. One, because maybe Michzik and Mavashal, it would look like you're doing something cooking, like putting an item into a hot stove on Shabbos day. Right? It would look like Michzik and Mavashal. Or another concern we'll see is what's called Shema Yechate B'Gecholim. You might come to stoke coals, which is another way of saying adjusting the flame. Right? If you see your food is getting, it's cooking too fast, or it's not cooking fast enough, you might come to adjust the flame, which could be either Hibui or Havara, you know, depending on the way you're turning up the flame or turning down the flame. So these are some of the rabbinic restrictions that we're going to see today that are put in place. The first thing we just point out is that there's ways to impart flavor into something without actually using heat. That's a concept. How could you do something? How could you put a flavor into something without heat? Obviously, no, you cook it up. But how could you do it without fire?
Soaking,
right. It's called kivish. Called kovish. Kovish kimavusha. So if you would soak an item in something for a long enough period of time, forget if it has anything like, you know, I don't know, like a vinegar or something like that, but let's just say a regular thing. Let's say I would put let's say I have a cold glass of milk and I drop a meatball into it. So what did I just cook? Is it basa b'cholov? I just cooked it up? So of course not. There's no heat. But how long is that meatball allowed to sit into the... Okay, on the opposite, you could add a meat stew and just put a drop of piece of cheese into it, whatever it is. But if it's cold, so we have a 24-hour period. After 24 hours, then we say kovish kimavosho. By soaking it for 24 hours, that's considered to be like you cooked it. So you see, that's the first source on here. The Gemara says, it's a Shulchan Aruch. Right? Hakovish b'shabes osme p'nei shehu kit mevashel. It's like, so that's a rabbinic restriction. But again, you're transferring the heat of an item, but you're not using heat. It's doing that. The question is going to be like this. There's a machloek between the Beis Hillel and the Beis Shammai about setting up a malacha before Shabbos to be completed after Shabbos. Classic example of this might be, my cell phone is running low on power, so I'm going to plug in my cell phone before Shabbos. It's going to charge all Shabbos. As soon as Shabbos is over, I can get on my phone and I can call my friends to make a Malev Malka. That's the only reason I would need a cell phone after Shabbos, to call to make arrange my Malev Malka plans. But that's allowed, right? So that's a machlokus, though, whether we say Adam Musar Shvisos Kalim, a person is not allowed to have their Kalim being working. I didn't do anything. Again, think about it. I just set up the mechanism to start before Shabbos. It's going to work on its own. I'm not touching, I'm doing anything for it. And they're allowed to, right? So that's, Beis Shammai says you can't. Beis Hillel hold, we pass this, but you can do it. You could charge your phone, you could do things. But if you look at the next one, that might not apply to every single malacha. We might not be allowed to do that for cooking, to put something on a flame before Shabbos. Again, in order to be chayav on a Dilraisa level, you have to do a maisa on Shabbos. That's clear. So you think, okay, I do a maisa on Shabbos. I put the chicken soup up, 10 minutes before Shabbos started, and now it's going to cook on. And just like, think about it, I could just have my my cell phone charging. Right? I'm not going to use it, but here, at least now I can take it off the flame. So why not? So the Gemara says, Daf ches, yud ches amid beiz, afilu teima beiz hillel, gezei reshema yechate b'gecholim. Even Beis Hillel wouldn't allow this. Normally it allows you to do things, but you might come to stoke the coals. It's very logical. You know, your chicken soup is cooking, and the guests are here, and the kids are bouncing off the walls because they're hungry. They haven't eaten anything for the last 20 minutes. Now they're hungry. Well, they want the matzo balls. They want the chicken soup. Okay, no problem. I'll cook it faster. Instead of ready in 40 minutes, we're ready in 10 minutes. I'm just going to turn it up to full heat.
You're going to serve it on Shabbos?
That's the whole point. I want my food for Shabbos. Right, the cell phone's not such a good example because you're not planning on using that. But something that I really would want to use on Shabbos, the Beis Hillel says, no, I'm concerned now. All right? Nowadays, we have to just go back to understanding that our ovens cook much faster than they did back then. Right? So, certain things, we talked about this in the Deir Shushirim, that certain things, it doesn't matter, back then you could put something on the flame, you could stoke it all the time. It's not going to get cooked, it just takes long. But now, we'll cook it an hour. So what are you going to do? Oh, I'll sing more Semiros. I'll sing another Dvar Torah. An hour for a meal to wait is not a good thing. But then it took 8 hours to cook something. 10 hours. It's not happening that night. You're not worried about it.
And so, this is only a concern for the night meal, right?
No.
Even by the day meal, you can't cook.
We'll talk about Chazar at the end, about returning some reheating foods on Shabbos, which there are conditions you can do that. But right now we're talking about just doing something on Erev Shabbos. I mean, it could be for the daytime meal. If you think about it, you might, but usually probably it was something that you were doing for the nighttime meal. But yeah, it really concerns for both. Anything you'd want to eat on Shabbos and it's not ready. I mean, that could be a case as well. Let's say you have, I don't know, I'm not a culinary guy, but if you had something that's an 8-hour thing, right? So you put it up, 10-hour, 12-hour, I don't know, one of these things, you put it up. Even 24-hour, they have these like types of dishes. I don't know what they're called, but we need Lawrence Franks here to give us all the Lashonos. They have things that cook for 24 hours. The person says, you know what, Friday afternoon at 12 o'clock, I'm putting up this 24-hour dish, right? And it's supposed to cook and be ready for my delicious Shabbos meal by noontime on Shabbos day. Great. And then you see it's not happening. So right, it could be very well that for the daytime meal, which according to halacha, is the most important of the meals. Why would you need to know? Let's say a person has an extra special side dish or a special kugel or something. Now, what meal should I serve my special potato kugel at, my special foods? The halacha is the sudah shnia, the second meal, the daytime meal is the most chashev. Again, if you're having guests, maybe you want to serve on a different meal, but really, if it's all things being equal, the daytime meal is the most important. So now we're talking about the types of the ovens in those days were called a kira. So the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos, kira shehisiku bekash ubegavava, something that was lit up with like stubble, things like twigs, like these little things. No, it's not a tavshil. You're allowed to put something directly on that thing. If that's your source, this is nothing. The gefes of eitzim, this type of wood, and gefes is a peat, P-E-A-T. Lo yitein ad sheyigrov. You can't put it on this kira on the stove unless it was goruf, means to be removing all the coals. Ohad sheyitein es ha'ofer. Putting ash on it, that's called kotum. So goruf or kotum are the two things. You have to either take off the coals or you have to, put ashes over them. So what does that accomplish? If I were to ask you, what does that serve halachically by either taking away the coals or by covering them with an ash? What would you think?
Raises the heat or lowers the heat.
It lowers the heat. What else could it be? It's true. Very good.
Indication that you're done cooking.
It could be, I'm done, right? Proof is I just turned off my thing. Good. Anything else? An indication I stopped cooking, or it's a way of actually physically cooling off the thing. So I'll show you in the Rishonim, there is a few different reasons that the Rishonim give about why we would do this. Rashi says, O'ad shitin ha'ofer, al gabi gechol nechasosam, ulitzanenem, right? Because it cools them off. Tzonin, it cools them off. That was what you said, right? That it cools off the heat. So now, once already my heat is going down, so I'm not really overly concerned about that. According to Tosos, that's why there's no bishul into a klisheni. We don't really have a chance to discuss this so much, but the rule is, right, the thing that I'm cooking with is my kli rishon, and then I pour it into a second one. So the Gemara says there are exceptions, but the general is ein bishul b'kli sheni, ein bashul b'kli sheni. There's no concept of it. So Tosu explains, because already it started the cooling down process. Now it's a little hard to understand if I have something that's 160 degrees, and now all of a sudden I just poured it into a new cup, it's still boiling hot, it's still super hot, right? Mm-hmm. But the Tosus explains, because it's now started the process of cooling down rice. That's a little bit of a connection over here, like Rashi's saying, as to why the Goruf HaKotam works, because it's cooled down. The Shulchan Aruch, Simen Reish Nun Gimel, he says, Ha'ofar, we cover it with the ashes, Kedei Lamayit Es Hachum, to lessen the heat. So that's like Rashi's opinion is quoted. The Rambam gives a different reason. Ram Hilchos Shabbos Perek Gimel says Lefikach in Goruf Ha'esh Oshikosa Esh Hakira Be'Ofer. If you would remove the coals, you covered it with the ash. Harizem Mutter Lashos Aleh. Once you did this, now you're allowed to put a cooked dish on the flame. And we haven't yet figured out how cooked it has to be to call it cooked, right? But at least you're allowed to put something on. And now this rabbinic restriction of leaving something on an uncovered flame is removed. Again, just to quickly repeat. Normally, you're allowed to do a malach on Erev Shabbos. They could finish up on Shabbos or after Shabbos. By Bishul, we don't allow because you might come to stoke it. But if you do these things, you're allowed to. It's called Shehiyah. You're allowed to leave the pot on the. So Rashi says if you go for Kotim, that cools it off. But Rambam says a different thing. Harizim Mutalach Shos Aleh Shahari hesiach daito mizeh hatavshil ve'ein goizrin shem yechate be'esh. So the Rambam has a different thing. You're masiach das. You have removed yourself from it. You're not thinking about it anymore. Okay, you know, sometimes you have a list of things you have to do. And something it's out of your mind. You're not even thinking about it. Whoops, I didn't do it. So it's not gonna be a problem. According to this, by covering it or pushing it aside, I basically said I'm not like thinking anymore about this. I'm not worried about this. I'm certainly not going to come to adjust the flame with something I'm not really thinking about anymore. I just kind of put it out of my mind. I said I finished this process. I'm done with it. That's the Rambam Shita. And then the Ramach has a different one. He says, "Satam hanochon mishum de'ovid heker," like you said, Scott. Right? You made a heker. You made something recognizable that I'm doing this different. Right? Kevin shigar fakatam lo osi lachatui. But once I've already done this, it's like a reminder. Where else do you have a heker in halachic things that you're allowed to do certain things if you make a heker something recognizable, a reminder? I would say for this. I'll give you a hint. I'm thinking.
You can designate most of the objects to use in certain cases, right?
Okay, here, that's what I want to set aside in order to be able to use it. Here's a heker that reminds me of something. Okay, it could be a little like a heker. That's more of a designated, though, because muktzah means it's put aside. I make it mukhan, I prepare it to use it. I prepare my rocks to throw people on Shabbos. No, that's not muktzah. It's not muktzah anymore. I prepared it beforehand. That was a joke. Okay, good. But, I was thinking of something about food related.
It must be a joke because you can't hold by Erev.
Basa b'chalav. Let's say you have two people. One guy's having a deli sandwich, one person's having pizza. So you're not allowed to have them on the same table unless you make a heker. So one guy has his table, one guy has placemat, the other guy has his placemat. You do something that clearly makes a distinction. So that'd be another way of allowing. That reminds me of here. And that's another halakha concept of using it. But we saw three opinions in the Rishonim already as to why Gor Fakotum works. Either Rashi cools it off, the Rambam it shows that I've like basically removed that from my conscious, I'm not thinking about it anymore, it's Masiach Das, or that it's some form of a heker. So now the question is like this: nowadays, what's the modern day application of Gor Fakotum?
Blech,
right? Once you have the blech, so then already. So let's just think about it for a second: does a blech lower the heat?
Probably does, actually.
Probably does because it's not directly touching it. Is it a heker? Am I misiach das? Have I forgot about it since I put a blech on?
So some of the blechs, yes, because they cover their controls or wherever it's going to be. You're not looking anymore.
Oh, so you want to step ahead of me. So let's talk about that for a second. What should the blech really cover? According to, the whole gezeirah was Shema yechate b'gecholim. Right? You're going to come to adjust the flame. So now I have to understand. The way you understand that would have a nafkamin as to what part of the... What should the blech really cover?
That would be the ability to stoke,
which would be the knobs. The knobs. That's what Aaron Cutler held. The blech covers the knobs itself, because that no one's touching the actual flame. Right? Back in the Akira, a real oven back then, so you're playing with the fire. You're not doing that, you're adjusting with the knobs. So Aaron Cutler held that one adjusts the knobs itself, right? Okay, so that would work with the Shem Yechata that's going to... What else? We saw that maybe it's to making a heker. So if a heker, that means I'm doing something in an abnormal way. So according to that, what would I have to cover if I'm just doing something in an abnormal way?
Flame.
The flame, right? Well, right? Ramosha, you have Moshe on here. Ramosha is the Igris Moshe, or Achayim, Chelik Aleph, Simen, Tzadi Gimel. So what does Ramosh say? And this is what Ramosh says is the opinion of Rov Poskim. Zelavaj yichases hakif kaftorim. What's a kaftor? The button, the knobs. Velo es ha'esh lo yo'yo. That doesn't help. Says Ramosh, just covering the knobs is not good enough. Sha'ikahu shetzorech leharos shedaito lahafchis. That I want to lessen it. Shezeh nira yoise bekisu ha'esh. So Ramosh says you have to cover the flame. That's what the majority of people. Majority blech covers the fire itself, not the knobs. Right? See, Rav Aaron says that you have to cover the knobs. Rav Moshe holds that you cover the flame itself. Rav Shmuel Vosner, Shevet Alevi. So he held both. You cover both. And I've seen these. We don't have it in our home, but you have. They have like a blech, and it's got a little edge. You can do it also. Reynolds wrap where? So, oh, well, where do you use the Reynolds? Like, it's a good question. I wasn't planning on discussing it, but where can you use the foil? Think about it. Where can you use the foil? We do this in the shul also. Where can you use the foil as your hecker?
We do it inside the crock pot and also on the knobs.
That's right. Chon pot. So inside the crock pot might be for a different reason. To cover the knob on the dial, to cover the knob on the knob, to put a piece of foil over that is because of Shem Yechat V'Gecholim. Right? You don't make much chon. but whatever chon, whatever thing you have, so one should have the
hot plates don't have, most hot plates don't have knobs.
Oh, so that might be even better.
We had hot plates with knobs, and we would just put Reynolds wrap over the whole length of them.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, some of them aren't adjustable. That might be actually better, according to Halacha, because there's no concern now of Shem Yechat, because you can't adjust it. So it's one temperature.
The easy way out is to get a Shabbos mode oven.
Well, but for the top, though, the flames.
Well, we don't use the top. We just use the oven. We just keep the pot, the challenge pot is in the oven, which is Shabbos mode.
Is on Shabbos mode. So you take it out.
You can open it and close it.
Yeah, so there is a concern about putting something in an oven on Shabbos.
Right. But we don't generally put anything in
it. You're just taking out.
Right. Except if it's dry. I heard it was dry. A dry kugel you could put in. Or a challah to warm up.
Yeah, so but there's a gezira comment of that's michsi kimavashal of putting something in, you know, into an oven, right, per se. But on the knobs of the chont, right? I think Shlomo Zalman has that if a person's going to adjust it, let's say you have to fix your chont, you should take the. I think he says like you should take, maybe by the blech also, but you should take the hecker off. Mm-hmm. Because if it becomes a joke, then okay, you know, like I have my thing reminding myself, and now I'm adjust the flame. So
the knobs were you could take off the shaft for the spindle.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, you could do that as well.
I think we've done that.
Oh yeah, okay, so that's a hecker, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right? That rose it. So again, three way machlokes as to what should be done: either just the knobs, just the fire, or the knobs and the fire. And you see, like Hamish's stores, they sell the special. You know, now you can make a blech on Shabbos. That's important to point out also. As a person forgot to, so you could put the blech down on Shabbos. That's not a problem. Unless you pre-cut the foil or something, you could do that as well. But if you have just the blech, you have the metal sheet, and you forgot to put it down, so you're allowed to do that on Shabbos. And again, that would allow a person to leave or even return in certain cases. Fire.
So about
food
putting
to
the dry items on the blech, it's not an issue for a blech, but you're saying for an oven because it's an oven.
Yeah. That's mechzik mevashel. Okay. Now there's what's called a hefsek kedera, where when you put something, you have an upside down, flipped, empty pot. So that's also done. That also shows that I'm doing this in an abnormal way, mm-hmm. And then you could return things to that. They could warm up food on the blech as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see where we have to. Oh, okay. So now the question is, we talk about, you know, how cooked does the food have to be? This will be the last point. How cooked does the food have to be in order to leave it on? You can't put something, there has to be certain standards to how far it has to be cooked. So there's a machloikis in the Gemara between the Rabbonin and the Chananya. There's a famous machloikis in the third parak of Brachos. Chananya Omer, this is Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Kol Shu K'maychu Ben Drusoy. Any food that's reached the level of that bandit, Maychu Ben Drusoy, Mutra L'Shoiso Al Gabe Kira, you're allowed to keep that on top of the fire. Afa pi she'enu gorf ve'enu kotum, even if it's uncovered. Once you got to Michael ben Destroy, it's very lenient. I can leave it on open flame. It's Michael ben Destroy. So now let's think this out. I think we've mentioned this over the last few weeks. What's the level of cook? What percentage wise of cook Michael ben Destroy? Machloek is Rashi in the Rambam. Rashi says it's a third cooked. Rambam says it's a half cooked. But according to that, if it's a third or a half cooked, you could leave it on the flame, on an uncovered flame. Mm-hmm. Uncovered flame. So that's what he says, right? He says, Afalpi, even though it's not gor for kotum, you're allowed to do, you didn't cover it, you didn't put the ashes down, there's no blech, you could leave it on an open flame because it's edible. Michael Mendes is edible. So
high flame or a low flame?
Whatever flame you want.
Any flame.
Any flame. Any flame. Now, we paskin that way, but that's the sheet of Chanan. So let's see how we paskin. This machlokes is brought down in Shulchan Aruch and Simin Reish Nun Gimel. We actually were learning this in the Dirshu. Kira, that's the type of oven, right? If you had the gefes, which is like the peat, which we call like that's the psoles, is like the worthless parts of these olives or these or eitzim you used is wood. You are not allowed to put a cooked dish during on the Friday to let it sit on the flame. Unless it's totally cooked. Uvihu mitstamik viralo. Mitstamik viralo means it's totally cooked, and if it keeps on cooking longer, it's going to get ruined. So you're not going to leave it on the flame because you don't want it to get the thing. Some food items, the longer they cook, the more geschmack. Cholt is it's not mitstamik viralo, but the, I don't know what an example is. You know, like chicken. I don't know, like chicken. It can dry out if you cook it too long. Right? So if you cook something too much, it's called mitstamik viralo. Leik lemecha shem yechate. Because at this point, if it's totally cooked and it's in its doesn't improve, we're keeping on, actually gets worse the longer you keep it on, there's no concern you're going to adjust the flame on this. So that's the shita of the Rabban.
There's no concern you're going to adjust it up. Why wouldn't there be a concern you adjust it down?
Mm-hmm. You mean I would extinguish something?
Yeah.
So here we're talking about Shemi Yechat, it means like to poke it around to get the flame to go better. Meaning if the flame's, you're asking, it's a good question, you know, it's if the flame's going strong, why wouldn't I be concerned I'm going to take away some of the fire? I'd probably, if it's already cooked though, it's edible, so I would just take it off. Because again, the whole point is that here it doesn't. If it was mitzamek v'yofilo, it'd be good. Then that might be a real concern because I want it to keep on at least on the lower flame. Here it's getting worse, so I'm not gonna adjust
already. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So even a little bit of keeping it warm is gonna make it worse. It's not like you're gonna eat 2 hours,
right.
But you
right.
want to serve complete.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it easier to make it higher than lower?
No. Well, I mean,
making it lower would suggest extinguishing.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what he's asking.
Well, nowadays you just turn down the knob.
Yeah. Right, of course, but in the old days, you know,
put a little bit of water on it.
Or you take away some of the.
Yeah, that's probably take away some of the.
No, it's the same thing. I mean, you're extinguishing or not, however you're extinguishing it.
Yeah, but. No,
but if you take away some wood that isn't ignited already,
it's the same thing as lighting.
It's also a problem.
It's just a bit.
It's also a chabe. If you remove.
It's
called Grom Kibui. Okay. Im lo nizbashil kitzas, velo nizbashil kol tzorcho. I'm sorry, by the way, im nizbashil kitzas. It was a little bit cooked, velo nizbashil kol tzorcho. It's a little bit cooked, but it's not totally cooked. Afil nizbashil kol tzorcho, hum itzamek viyofalo, chayshinin shem yechate, v'os l'shoso ale, el inkin gorf. So if it's not this level, then you cannot leave it on. Unless it is covered, dahayne shahotzi mimenu kol gechalim, you take away all the flame, all the coals. Or kotum dahayne shikase hagechalim ba'ofer lemad chumam. Or you would do something to it. That's the thing. So again, if it was not totally cooked, you would not be allowed to leave it on. That's the sheet of the rabbanim. So the threshold is to be edible, ready to go. Says Chananya, Yesh Omrim. This is the second opinion in the Shulchan Aruch. Shekol shnizbashel kemaychu ben drusoy. Anything that reaches the level of maychu ben drusoy. Oh, shnizbashel kol tzarcho umitztamik viyafilo. Or even if it gets to the higher one, that it's cooked and it's bad, to leave it on, it's not going to be tasty anymore. Mot v'shoso agave kira, afila ena grufa ketuma. You could leave it on even if it wasn't done that way. So this is the level that it has to get at to leave it in an uncovered flame. But the minig is not to. Even though, technically speaking, one could, the minhag is not to leave any food, even if it reached that level, when I know how fully cooked it is, or whatever it is, we would not leave food on an uncovered flame, even though the ikra din might be allowed. Says the Ramah, who do we paskin like? Saras b'nei Ashkenaz, v'nohu l'hakil k'surach rona. We can be make it like Chananya. We're lenient. It's a machlokas Rashi versus, it basically comes out to Ashkenazim versus Svardim. The Rashi, the Tosfos will hold like Chananya, and the Rif, the Rambam, they hold like the Chachamim, as to how much has to cook. But according for us, we would be allowed to put on at least it reached Maichel Ben Drusoy. So Halach Lemais, the person Erev Shabbos, they have to have the food up at least a third, preferably a half cooked before Shabbos starts. So
this
one,
is with an open flame. We're still talking about
this would be an open flame, but nevertheless, we would still cover the flame. We would still cover the flame. We don't leave. The minhag is not to leave food
but
on
again,
it.
By halacha, it says.
Yeah, right here.
We could have fully
correct.
Covered flame.
Correct.
There's something, nothing about it's just you putting out from scratch. Like, just from the beginning.
So that's. That's bad. That's a problem. So there is something called a kedera chaisa, which means a raw piece of meat. So the Shulchan Aruch discusses such a thing. that theoretically I could save the day. Let's say I didn't have it, it's not fully cooked, but if I put a raw piece of meat into this chont 10 seconds before Shabbos starts, so then that date saves the day. That already, I know this raw piece of meat is not going to cook. It's not going to be ready for Friday night. So therefore, since the fact I put in something raw, it's going to take hours and hours. It's going to take all night to cook. Therefore, already, I was Masiach Dasrin. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to stoke it because I could stoke it for hours and hours and hours. Nothing's going to happen. That's not going to be ready in time. Therefore, that saves the day and I'd be allowed to keep it on. But Rav Henkins, that's also, that doesn't apply nowadays. Because that was in the times of Chazal, we had Kira, which took hours and hours and hours. Like we said at the beginning of this year, nowadays our modern day ovens cook so much faster. So I put a raw piece of meat, it'll be ready.
In 45 minutes.
Putting something right on before candle lighting.
It's better not to. It's better that it'd be Meichel and Drusroy.
I remember hearing it could either be totally uncooked or rove cooked.
Rove,
one
yeah.
position
yeah.
or not. Or not cooked at all.
That's this idea of something that's completely raw because it won't cook. But he was saying that since nowadays it cooks faster, then it's quite conceivable that you could have it right for tonight if you wanted. So maybe it no longer applies.
So you shouldn't rely on that.
Correct. Yeah, if Hank and Hilda doesn't apply nowadays.